Who's in charge? Who's in charge?
Ask and you shall receive. Hey everyone, I'm Molly Wood. Welcome back to Make Me Smart, the show where we make today make sense.
And we'll find out at the end of this podcast who is actually in charge, because I honestly don't know. Anyway, I'm Kai Rizdahl. It is Holodot Shalva Thursday. Thanks for being here. You know the drill, 15 minutes news, a little smile thing, if we're lucky, and then we are gone. Gone.
It is indeed. You know, we have had talks over and over about whether to change the name of Hollowed Out Shell Thursday, and usually it comes to like, you know, we're just not going to, because like most people are just tired by Thursday, and also it just keeps going that way. It just keeps ending up. Obviously, right today back. Today is a horrific day.
Yeah.
In America, where obviously we're speaking to, as we've heard, that at least 12 U.S. service members and thousands, hundreds of Afghan citizens have been killed in this bombing. I mean, imagine the inhumanity that you have to say people are packed in here like rats trying to save their own lives. Let's blow them up.
Yeah.
And then everybody immediately turns around and plays their favorite fun game of politics. And then The Economist calls up Henry Kissinger, of all people. He wrote a column for The Economist on how America should have dealt with Henry Kissinger. We have reached the stage of absurdity where we are calling Henry Kissinger. Just Google it if you don't know what I'm talking about.
Wow.
To find out how we should have prosecuted this war. So yeah, we are at max absurdity and hollowed outness.
Yeah.
And
all right, well, let's do our slice of the news, shall we? You want to go first?
Yep. I am mad about women, as usual. And not just the regular old patriarchy, but the part of the patriarchy that we don't talk about a lot, maybe not quite often enough, which is the part of the patriarchy that is propped up by women. Tina Chen, president and CEO of Time's Up, which you may know is one of the organizations that was supposed to support women in the wake of the Me Too movement or in alongside the Me Too movement. Its leader resigned, told her staff Thursday that she would resign after admitting that essentially the organization did all kinds of private consulting for Andrew Cuomo, the recently resigned New York governor. Ostensibly to help him weather sexual harassment storms. It sounds like the organization declined to issue a letter supporting his first accuser. The co-founder of Time's Up, Roberta Kaplan, also resigned earlier this month after Letitia James, the attorney general in New York, released the case against Cuomo because it showed essentially some of these consultations in great detail. And and Tina Chen, in her statement, sounding like someone we'll talk about in a minute, said, I think it's just it's too much of a distraction for me to stay on, but also said that she had no idea how deep these issues with Cuomo went, and she could see how people felt betrayed. And at least one New York State senator is just not having it. Alessandra Biaggi has this crazy long thread about the times that she felt that the Time's Up organization threw her under the bus at Andrew Cuomo's request, how closely they worked with him, how survivors of sexual assault and sexual harassment were just sort of like shunted aside because Cuomo himself was so politically powerful in New York. It's infuriating. It's infuriating.
Yeah. Rightly. It's crazy.
And it comes on the same day that the New York Times reports, because remember when I was like, there's no way that Mike Richards is going to stay the executive producer of Jeopardy.
Oh, yeah.
That's just like a delay tactic. Yeah, no, he is. Apparently.
And not only that, he's getting sensitivity training, the New York Times reports, and he's going to have like a minder watching him. But no, we can't not have him be here because I don't know.
There's no way that would create a hostile or uncomfortable work environment for women.
Right?
Why would it, after all those fun things he said about them?
I'm going to go not very far out on a limb and say he doesn't make it 90 days. Not 90 days.
You know,
Truly.
You are right so much more often than I care to admit. And this is one that I'm just going to lean in. I'm just going to, yep. I'm hitching my star to this wagon. Kai's going to be right.
I'll take that one. Yeah. It's just too, you know, it's just too. And so.
It's just gross. It's all so gross. Can't be. It's so gross. Anyway, sorry about all the yelling. Yeah. I'm done now.
No, look, these are both smash the patriarchy kind of, and it's enablers, I guess, moments. Okay, mine, a little more mundane, a little more wonky, a little more, I don't even know. Just a very quick aside on the travel plans of Emmanuel Macron, the president of France, went to Ireland today. At which he was expected to, and I'm bringing this up because we've talked about it, he's expected to lobby the Irish to get on board with the global minimum tax that Janet Yellen's been pushing and that the OECD bought in on that we covered, I don't know what, a couple of months ago. Ireland, of course, is the key player here because they have like a 12 or a 15% tax rate, which is why Apple and all those companies park so much of their profit overseas. So I just thought that was interesting. And Macron is sort of going to bat. For that whole thing.
That is interesting. That's pretty dishy for tax nerds.
Yeah, for tax nerds. That's right. Well, this is 2 days in a row we've had tax nerds on the program.
We have them.
Yesterday we had the other one. Here's the other thing. I'm riffing off a piece in Politico, I think, today that says, is it Politico? I think it's Politico. Saying that Kamala Harris, the Vice President of the United States, from the great state of California, by the way, was going to stop in California on her way home from her Asia trip to campaign with Gavin Newsom in the recall election we're having out here. And that's not happening for obvious reasons having to do with Afghanistan. But I'm not sure how many people out there really realize that Gavin Newsom could conceivably not be the governor of California in 45 days. The recall is the 14th of September. This is an overwhelmingly blue state. But the way direct democracy works in this state, which bugs me no end, is that Gavin Newsom could get 49.9% of the vote saying, yes, keep him in office. But 50.1% would throw him out. And then the guy who might replace him, since there are umpteen bazillion people on the ballot, could be like a 16% vote getter, 18% vote getter. I think it's amazing. I don't think enough people outside the state of California are paying attention to it. And it could easily happen.
It really could, and it would just upend this state. I mean, it really, because who knows, literally who knows, with 18 candidates and, you know, the name and a very energized, angry
extremely
base
energized, you bet,
of conservatives, right? And hard right conservatives.
Yeah, and Democrats were like, oh, it's going to be fine. We're such a blue state. Right. I don't have to vote, right? That's what's going to happen.
It's a big enough deal that it's an off-year election.
Right. Mm-hmm. Sorry, go ahead. I'm ranting.
No, I was going to say that's why it's a big enough deal that Kamala Harris was literally going to stop here and stump.
Right.
For what otherwise seemed like a pretty standard recall election. Yeah, it's a huge deal.
Yep.
Now, I don't mean to do this because I'm not trying to
go ahead.
I am not trying to perpetrate conspiracy in any way, shape, or form. However, there were reports like 2 days ago that while Kamala Harris, Vice President Harris, was on that trip in Vietnam in particular, that some people in her entourage, we don't know who, were afflicted with symptoms resembling the Havana syndrome, which is this kind of increasingly scary thing. They call it psychogenic illness, thing where some Americans and service members and diplomats are starting to have these neurological issues that they think might be the result of like microwave radiation being beamed in their direction. It seems very clear. It's like it's a tax, it seems, and it keeps happening. Yeah. And it happened to Kamala Harris and her delegation in Vietnam. And I'm like sitting here hearing that she canceled this rally and wondering if it happened to her because they haven't said anything about who it was. But also, when are we going to take this a lot more seriously? Because it seems really scary.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. It's a big deal. And you know, I've done my time in overseas posts. And the idea that this is happening to you and you can't really get the government to pay attention is until recently anyway, is kind of infuriating.
It's kind of bonkers. I hope that at the super secrety levels, they're paying lots of attention.
Ah, yes. What's your classification level? It's super secrety.
It's super secrety. I'm willing to acknowledge that we journalists do not know everything and people don't tell us everything. And so maybe there are, you know, super secret-y layers where they're really trying to figure this out. But yikes.
Yeah,
yikes.
For sure. For sure.
Okay.
All right,
we're
Mr.
about
Engineer.
Hollowed out enough. There we go.
There we go. All right, go ahead.
I had one make me smile, and then I got a second one, courtesy of our copy editor, Carrie Barber. What do you know? The first one is...
Who always pops up with awesome stuff, by the way. Carrie just always, random finals
She really
stuff.
Does. Yeah. Carrie, like, finds the good parts of the internet, for sure.
Yeah.
Evidently, there is news in SciTechDaily.com today that an antibody has been discovered, antibody therapy has been discovered that appears to neutralize, quote, all known SARS-CoV-2 strains.
Seriously?
And other coronaviruses. Yeah. So literally yesterday we were like, when are there going to be pills and when are there going to be these therapeutics? And this is not a vaccine. It's a therapeutic. But it evidently is like a seriously hardcore effective drug developed by GlaxoSmithKline and Vir Biotechnology. And it has, quote, remarkable breadth and efficacy. Neutralizes all the strains, including the newly emerged mutants. And that is awesome. Yep.
Wow. That's crazy. That this is a is story awesome. That needs more coverage. That's cray cray.
I mean,
course,
it really does, right? Like, why am I reading
stupid things, right? That's the problem. It would encourage people to say, oh, no, I'm just going to take this magic pill, right?
I mean, I don't know. They're already taking the horse one.
Exactly. Exactly.
My God. They're even saying that this antibody could prevent a COVID-19 infection if given prophylactically. The new work was published in Nature. So, yeah, let's get that on some front pages. That's great news.
Yep. Let's. For sure.
Then the awesome Carrie Barber just sent me a link to a story from Australia about how an Australian farmer who couldn't go to a family funeral for his aunt because of COVID, he used his sheep to make a big, huge heart in a field and took a drone picture of it.
Oh. I thought it was like did some weird cloning thing or took a cell and built a sheep heart and did it. Okay. All right. Never mind. I had that totally
wrong.
You
thought it was all science?
Wrong. Sorry.
Sorry. Yes. No, he somehow got a whole crap ton of sheep to stand in a place in the shape of a heart, which is like amazing. It's like the beginning of the Beijing Olympics, except with sheep. Awesome.
Yes, and much better than the way I was imagining that story. Okay, so anyhow, moving on. Okay. It would not be. That's not a story you would not bring. You could conceive.
I would
see you bring
definitely
that story.
Be all over that story. You are correct. Is that were happening?
You totally
You're correct.
Would. You totally would.
A cloned sheep heart as a gift.
Exactly.
Yes.
Here you go, Granny or Auntie or whatever. Anyway, moving right along. Mine will be quick, and then we will get out of here because I think we're just past repair. I would just like to point out, as covered in the Wall Street Journal today, that in a mere 2 weeks, the country of El Salvador will finalize its adoption of Bitcoin as legal tender. The first country, obviously, to do so. It will be one of two in that country, along with the U.S. dollar. And the mention of the dollar makes me obliged to point out that 2 days ago, Bitcoin was worth $50,000. Today, it's worth $48,000. What could possibly go wrong in an economy like El Salvador's when you've got that kind of volatility? That's all I'm saying. It's not a make me smile. It's a make me shake my doggone head. That's what that one is. I can't.
I was like really hoping that the headline was wrong and that they meant cryptocurrency, but they actually mean Bitcoin.
Yeah, Bitcoin. Yeah.
The foray into Bitcoin, writes the Wall Street Journal, risks wrecking El Salvador's $26 billion economy. Oh, my God.
Yeah. Yeah. 2 weeks.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. So.
We'll see.
Right. Watch these pages.
Yeah.
More to come.
That's a big story.
More to come.
That's a big story.
Yep.
We should get someone from the El Salvador Central Bank to come on.
I'm not sure this person would want to.
And just be like, sir or madam.
Like, oh, the politicians, they don't understand economics. Yeah. Yeah.
Dang.
Yeah.
Dang. Dang.
Yep.
Okay. Well, that's it for us today. I'm going to be just refreshing whatever I can news about that in 2 weeks. We will be back tomorrow for, I think, a very well-earned Economics on Tap and the YouTube live stream. We will be excited to hang out with all of you at 3:30 p.m. Pacific, 6:30 p.m. Eastern. Keep your questions and your comments coming. We're at makemesmart@marketplace.org. Or, of course, you can leave us a voicemail at 508-827-6278. 508, you be smart.
Here we go. Another one.
Boom. Right on time. Make Me Smart is produced by Marissa Cabrera. Today's episode was engineered by Brian Allison. Tony Wagner writes our newsletter.
Donna Tam is senior producing this week, in addition to whatever other job she is assigned by the executive director of On Demand, who is Tar Nieves, just because Donna can do it all. She's a five-tool player.
That's right. This show really makes me realize what you can accomplish in 15 minutes. You can't fold laundry, right? But you can get a lot of content.
Depends on how much laundry you got.
I got a lot of laundry on my mind right now. So much laundry.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.